Welcome to Art House Radio. I'm Troy. This week, the guests are Chris and Santos, and every week that I have a guest, we each pick a movie, throw it into a hat, then we draw it live on Instagram at arthouse.radio, and if you join live, you can pick one too, and it goes straight into the hat as well. This week's movie is The Fountain by Aaron Aronofsky. I think that's saying that right. Starring Rachel Weisz. Oh, it's Weisz or Weisz? Ellen Burstyn and Hugh Jackman. Let's talk about it.
So I just watched, again, The Fountain. I haven't seen it for probably 6 or 7 years. This was actually my pick I threw into the hat. And I didn't know what to expect after seeing it, not seeing it for so long. And I know straight off the bat, it's not a movie for most people. I think it's not a Marvel movie. It's not something for the masses. And it can be confusing to kind of follow, but man, something about it just affects me. It has a lot of different stories going on, layered on top of each other, different versions of characters going through different times. And I think ultimately it's just about, coping with the reality of death and life and what we can control and what we can't, and learning the hard lesson of at some point you got to let it go and you got to accept it. There's the scientist played by Hugh Jackman who was coming close to a cure, and he was just going mad by trying to save his wife, and I get it. But then he learned kind of, I think, the lesson in the long end that you can't cheat death. And, he even said it. He's like, death is a disease, and that means there's a cure, and I'm going to find it. And from that point on, 20 minutes left, the last 20 minutes just blows my mind, because it just takes it up a notch. The music is fantastic. It's very operatic. To me, it's an opera in a lot of respects. I think anybody who's struggling with, this type of scenario in their lives, probably this may help them, may push them over the edge, but it may also help them. I don't know. But I think it defines a lot. It says a lot. And I think Darren Aronofsky, his movies are just crazy in general, but they're all really good. They just have a very deep, powerful, and empowering message. Usually, with a lot of crazy mixed in, of course. And I don't think this is any different. And it's just kind of a deep topic, so it's not for everybody, but I really liked it. Kudos to Hugh Jackman. I think he did a fantastic job. If you ever get a chance, watch the behind the scenes, because his acting behind the scenes, they do a lot of like back end filming of his acting and him practicing his parts. It's incredible. It's incredible. So I suggest that as well. So there were just a few more points I wanted to make about The Fountain. The visual cues and the symmetry and the symbology throughout the whole movie was so consistent and so mesmerizing to me. So when, for instance, the lighting in the lab is always very dark, and the hospital is very dark, and then you had it focused more on the lights that were shining through, and they were very consistent and patterned, and they matched a lot. Like when and this was amazing how Aaron Aronofsky did this, but I don't think anybody else has done this before. But when a car would drive by in one scene, or they were riding a horse in one scene, the camera would be upside down. And then there would be a string of lights, like a runway, that matched the lighting in the labs and all that kind of stuff. And then as the horse was driving by, the camera would flip up on its side, and you'd be still looking at it going forward, but upside down as well. And that was just amazing to me. I don't know if anybody's ever done that kind of camera angle before. And then cueing up the lighting with the music, especially at the end as they're in this Tree of Life bubble going into the Shambhala, you know, star, nebula, whatever it is. It's just super mesmerizing. So all of that synced together was just fantastic, I thought.
I thought this movie was, The Fountain was definitely worth a watch. I would describe it as jarring. I think it did a really effective job of just provoking different emotions. Like there's a scene when Izzy's in the bathtub and she ends up pulling, I'm just going to call him Wolverine, into the tub. I don't even know how, I can't even explain it again because it's like so many weird things happen. Like me explaining it doesn't really do it justice because it's about the weird camera angles, just the weird mixture of it's the mixture of emotions that it sort of evokes at the same time, because like it's a really sad scene because you're kind of finding out as a viewer that there really is something wrong with her, like medically. She's going through something, she's in the bath. So it's like sad, but then they start like it's a turns into like a lovemaking scene and he gets pulled into the bath, like fully clothed. There's just a lot going on. So it's a very jarring film. And like Brian described it as being about, in the end, it's about dealing with death and with loss. And there were a bunch of things about this film that I don't know. All I can do is describe them. I don't know how I feel about them, if they're positive or negative, just that they're there and that they're different and that these characteristics are strong in the sense of being just having a lot of emotion to them. So for example, there's not very many characters in this film at all. There's not really a world outside of this small set of characters, and there's no character development, really. I guess you could say with either of the two main characters there could be, but there's really no other significant characters. There's a handful of scientists who play a role and doctors, and that's really it. And like half of the movie, not half of it, but a significant portion is just like Wolverine eating mushrooms and tripping balls. Like that's, and just these weird, trippy sort of imagery up on the screen. So it's a different film. Brian talked a little bit about the lighting. It's very dark, and like half of the movie almost takes place in the lab, and it's very dark. It's almost hard to see, right? So there's all of these different elements that just give it this kind of isolating feel, even though it's touching on both extremes, like complete feeling of like isolation and loss of attachment and devastation, but also being connected to something much bigger and just sort of giving into that feeling of like transition and moving on.
So for me, there were two things that I thought about immediately finishing the movie and probably watching it throughout. One, I think the topic is super interesting. I don't know that it's new because it's sort of dealing with, you know, he talked about death being a disease, as Brian mentioned. And he was going to find the cure. That sounds to me like a lot like the Black Mirror episode where the woman's husband dies and she orders a robot who looks just like him and his language is based around the text messages or whatever it is. It's maybe the means are different, but the end result is kind of the same. I mean, Hugh Jackman's character, Tommy Boy, is trying to stop death from happening in the first place, which is a big difference. But they're both dealing with kind of the same thing in that they're playing God in a way, so to speak. And whatever God means to you, I don't mean like a guy in sandals in the rain cloud looking down on you. I just mean, you know, being able to control mortality, consciousness, things like that, to prevent you from dying or resurrect you from dying. I get that they're different things, but they're touching on the same thing, like Frankenstein, I believe. Frankenstein was a monster. Dr. Frankenstein assembled what is labeled as a monster in the book, I think. It's been a long time. One of my favorite books, but it's been a while. From old body parts and mysterious chemicals. So it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of puts you in this interesting question about whether you should be meddling with something or whether we should accept a mortality in a way. And, you know, I mean, it raises a lot of interesting questions about whether, you know, what's the end game here with science? Like science, as the three of us have kind of talked about before, views itself as knowledge itself in a way. Like you have to go through science, even though our science doesn't really know that much. I mean, we know a lot, but, you know, we don't. Ask Neil deGrasse Tyson about dark matter and dark energy, and that makes up 95% of the universe or something, and we don't know what either of those is. So that to me is not knowing very much. So that's one thing I was thinking about. The other thing I'm thinking about is that for me, it just didn't execute it very well. Like there were moments where I felt like the music and Rachel Weisz and Jackman, like their acting was really good. There was a particular moment, I can't remember where, maybe around 35 minutes left, where they're such good actors that I almost got pulled in. And I did for a moment there. But what, for me, what kills it is the CGI, the golden strands coming out of his chest, and he's doing the crouching downward pose, you know, in the middle of some sort of multi-dimension, interdimension reality or something. This is just a personal preference. I would rather just hear someone talk about it, or somebody sitting in the grass having a good dialogue, or even if it's with themselves. I don't need to see, you know, golden strands shooting out of your bald head and talking about, implying some sort of magical, because you're not really going to capture that magical force if it exists anyway. And to me, it just kind of takes me out of it, like, oh boy, you know, it. So it's probably happened a lot of times in movies. For me, it was a swing and a miss, but I like the topic.
Not to shit on this movie, because I think that I don't think it was bad. I also don't think it was great, but I feel like I would have been blown away by this movie if I was like 19 and I had just smoked a joint. It would have just blown my mind. It is a little bit older, to 2006, is it? So, you know, if it feels like the overall theme has kind of been done before, I think, you know, at least this film came out a while ago now, 15 years ago or so. So before some of these other TV series or movies that maybe touch on the same topic. I felt like it did have some kind of critique. Maybe critique is too strong of a word. It had something to suggest about science and colonialism, or sort of comparing the two. Because she calls Tommy her conqueror, always trying her conquistador, always trying to conquer everything, when he's trying to, you know, come up with his breakthrough to try and stop death, essentially. So it's got some kind of maybe critique in there, but it doesn't really get too specific, other than, I mean, the last 20 minutes. Brian, it sounded like Brian was really enthralled by that. I almost felt like the last 20 minutes of the film didn't need to happen, because the sort of real story wraps up before then. And then the last 20 minutes is just like crazy shit. Like he's eating a tree and then flowers are like growing out of his mouth. It almost gets campy at the end, and I'm not really sure that it means to. So I kind of agree with Troy about some of the imagery, that I just didn't need it. Like it almost took away from the film. And I almost felt the same about the whole Mayan conquistador historical element to it too. Like, I didn't really, that kind of distracted me a little bit. I felt like it could have been, they could have just used that time to develop the sort of real story of what was going on between Tommy and Izzy. Because they didn't really have any other characters. They could have just been used for other stuff. I felt like it detracted a little bit for me from the experience.
Yeah, the conquistador thing was interesting. I forgot to mention that. They could have gone that direction too. So I did sense that there was this sort of, you know, Western modern idea of medicine, how we think of it as ibuprofen and whatever else. And then you have like shamans who have been doing things probably for thousands of years. And, you know, neither one of us is, no civilization maybe has ever gotten, has pulled itself close to the secrets. But maybe we end up getting to the same level. Maybe now, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, you'd think that now things are better with like vaccinations and things like that. But they're also, if there were less people on the planet back then, they wouldn't have needed to have vaccinations. I mean, they clearly needed them when the the colonizers arrived, because I mean, what did that night, I don't want to get my facts wrong here, but I just heard on a podcast it was like 90% of Native American, they think, I don't know if they know, is maybe like 60 million people who lived here. And I'm just talking out of my ass, but clearly the smallpox or whatever it was, the plague, devastated diseases, devastated North American countries. But other than that, like, how often were they coming in contact? So maybe they didn't develop medicine to the level that we might have it, but they didn't need it also. So, but anyway, yeah, I thought there were a few things they could have explored like that. And, you know, sometimes movies change for me. Like, you know, I might watch it today and go, yeah, it's okay, and give it a 5 out of 10 or something. But then you watch it 10 years from now and you think, well, this is much better than I had realized on the first viewing. So, yeah, I think it's a good movie for thinking about those things. And it's got to be difficult to make a movie, you know, so many places where your vision can sort of get off track. Like, you shoot it and maybe the actors aren't quite on, or the actors are on and the takes are hot, but then in the editing room it kind of falls apart, or the music kind of undercuts it or something, you know. So I don't know, it would be interesting to hear what they have to say, the director, but you'd never really know. I don't think they probably, unless they're very brutally honest, which I respect, I don't think they're probably going on to discussions with people, in-depth discussions where they may, yeah, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had done that, or I see something that nobody else sees, and if nobody catches it in my lifetime, fine, but maybe they'll catch it down the road. Always possible.
So there's one thing I was going to mention earlier, and I'm just reacting to both of your last reactions. I was going to bring this up anyway, but so the movie The Fountainhead, a long drawn out history back and forth of the studio approving it to go forward and money issues and all that kind of stuff. So by the time they actually got around to finally doing it, they didn't have a lot of money. So most of the color scheme and the graphics and all that stuff, there's very little CGI. So that at the end, for instance, with all the nebula stuff and the orange clouds and all everything around them, except for probably the stuff shooting out of his chest like Troy was mentioning, but pretty much all that chemical reaction was actually done. They had a chemist create some chemical reactions in a petri dish, and they shot off of that, and that's kind of what came out of it. All these chemical reactions from a petri dish. I thought that was a really interesting fact, and I thought it turned out really well. So just to kind of plug that in there. And then the whole conquistador thing. So I just remember growing up hearing about
the fountain of youth all the time. We were taught that in school and all that, and I think it was Ponce de Leon that found the fountain of youth somewhere like in Florida or whatever stuff, or it was just, you know, nobody really knows, and probably doesn't really exist, but I think this was a different take on it that I thought was interesting. And I think over the last couple of decades, they've been finding a lot of uncovering a lot of lost temples or cities underneath like rainforests and stuff in the like Guatemalan area where a lot of Mayans are. So I think that's probably the take that they were taking from it, is that this is a lost city where the Fountain of Youth is, where there's a lot of still questions and stuff being discovered, and it seemed like ripe to kind of plug it into the Mayan culture maybe. I thought that all that was interesting. Again, the last 20 minutes I thought was really impactful with the music, with the chemical reactions happening around this nebula. I thought was interesting, but it's not for everyone, I know. So there you go.
Well, there you go. There's The Fountain, reviewed on Art House Radio with Chris and Santos as guests. You can catch us everywhere at arthouse.radio on Instagram and patreon.com/arthouseradio. And subscribe to this if you can. It helps a lot. All right.